Today we crowned a new national champion in college baseball, whether Oklahoma or North Carolina is going to win. I don't really know. Oklahoma takes game one after a dominating performance at the plate. I mean, they've been kind of dominating this postseason anyway. But an absolutely dominating performance by Oklahoma. North Carolina yesterday comes storming back. You got a series that's tied at one. And so tonight you will end in a game three scenario between two teams that, and I'm not saying North Carolina, maybe not no one expected them to get there, but two teams that I'm not really sure that a lot of people would have taken in the preseason to win it all, especially not Oklahoma, who finished 11th in the SEC this past season. But tonight, regardless of this, you're going to crown a national champion. It's also why we're live a little bit earlier, because we're not going to be going live during a game three College World Series finale here. So we're going to be going a little bit live. You know what it does signify, however, unless your boys got something going on where times have to be changed. Guys, after tonight, it is football season, right? There is nothing college athletics-wise that would keep you from not starting to really start talking about football. It's here. So with it being here, we will start talking a lot more college football. And we got to get into and dive into college football here today from an LSU perspective. So I'm really looking forward to that. With that being said, a new champion will be crowned. This will end the quote-unquote reign of LSU winning two of the last three national titles. Maybe they can make it three out of five. Jay Johnson, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, maybe not done adding some guys that maybe have a lot of power at the plate. We'll talk about that too. But listen, it has been, and it kind of signifies and comes to an end, probably a horrible 2025-2026 calendar year for LSU athletics, depending on how you look at it. I mean, I don't know if I would say it was completely all bad when you bring in Lane Kiffin and Will Wade back and Jay Johnson gets to restock in the transfer portal. Maybe that's here or there. LSU softball is losing a lot of really good players. Don't really know if we've been talking about that at all. But you do have a new champion. And LSU, from a baseball perspective, is, quite frankly, retooling and revamping what they've done. Jason Wax, Beano Waters, Landon Hood, three of the top names that you have gotten from the transfer portal, along with Dawson Park. Oh, and by the way, you're not done. I hate when it starts doing this. I hate when it starts doing this, getting a little fuzzy on us, but nevertheless, stand by. Let's see if we can't clear this up. Stand by. I think we just need to go into a new studio. I think we need to bear down and go into a new studio. Maybe that's just my assumption here, but to kind of round this out, look, I know this baseball season and calendar year for LSU athletics has been very difficult. Football went horribly. Brian Kelly got fired. Matt McMahon, horrible season. He got fired. And then Jay Johnson and LSU baseball coming off of national title was not what you expected. But now you got to look forward to what probably is to come. You have gone out from a baseball, basketball, and football standpoint and spent a lot of money. And to be completely blunt with you, there are two narratives that surround this. Like, for example, for football, I don't think it's, you know, and we're going to talk about this a little bit coming out of the break too. I don't think it's necessarily playoff or bust in year one for any coach. I don't. But that is a lot of the expectations from a lot of people, not only locally, but nationally. Should they be, and should there be, high expectations on LSU football? You have spent roughly around $15 to $20 million in reference to LSU men's basketball. Should there be high expectations? I don't think there should be Elite Eight expectations. There should be expectations to get into the tournament and probably to a Sweet 16, depending on how much money you've spent. And then Jay Johnson doing what he did, going and getting the number one player in the portal, and Landon Hood, going and getting the number one overall player in the portal, and Beano Waters, adding Jason Wax, adding Dawson Park, retaining Steven Milam, bringing back Cade Arambeady, bringing back Omar Serna, having a core good nucleus of class as a freshman, bringing those in, or retaining those, I should say, a freshman class that is the number one class in the country that you can build off of. Yes, you should expect another tournament run. If you don't make the tournament again, clearly, you're going to be up Papoose Creek. That's not going to happen to LSU baseball next season. This was a rough year for everybody. And I feel like tonight in game three of a game that has nothing to do with us signifies that. This was a rough year for you. It was a rough year for me. Imagine your business surrounding LSU athletics being good. Now, coaching searches definitely make our business pop. Recruiting at a high level makes our business pop. But I would rather go out there and win. I'd rather our businesses be popping while we're going out there and going on a playoff run. And so I do think that that is what you're going to get. I do think that's what you're going to garner here in the upcoming year or year plus. And I think the next 365 days are going to go your way. Now, doesn't mean that you're going to win national titles in all three sports. God forbid. That's just not going to happen. Can you make this season entertaining? Well, or that this year to be entertaining will be the question. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. We are not live on Facebook. A lot of people have been asking us to go back live on Facebook. We will see. We're going to be live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We will not be here Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. So we're going to take the week, and I'll think about it. I know a lot of you have been asking. We'll see. We'll see. But do us a favor. Subscribe down below if you're on YouTube. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. And if you are watching us or listening to us on Twitter, hit that retweet button as well. Where is everybody watching from today? Are you in the 225? Are you in the 337, the 985, the 504? Or are you out the 318, 31 great? Or are you outside the state representing the state? I see Carter is in the 985, but living in Dallas. Good to have you in here with us as well. K-Dog is in Illinois. Mantino. The 815 Illinois, good to have you in here with us as well. And John Bros in the 713 Houston, Texas, Choo Choo Lane Train. You know, the number one hotspot for Louisiana, or let me not say Louisiana, the number one hotspot for LSU fandom outside of Louisiana is Houston, Texas, by the way, at least from our podcast. Houston, Texas, I mean, we kill the I-10 corridor from here to, you know, I'd say Destin, you know, from Houston to Destin's really where AYS dominates. But Houston, Texas, the number one, I think, you know, you got Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Shreveport, three high biggest cities, Hammond's in there, give or take, sometimes. And then you just get into a situation where Houston is at like number four, number five for where geographically people listen to. A lot of people live in Houston. A lot of people live in Houston. Jess is in Independence. Good to have you in here with us as well. Nevertheless, we're live, says DJ. Always. Absolutely always. Always we're live. Terry Deal Huse is in the 337 New Iberia. Good to have you in here with us. Matt is in the 318-31 Great Shreveport. Stand up and stand proud. And happy Father's Day. I see Matt right here. It looks like he's with his family. I probably should have let off with that. Congratulations, or in order, we made it through Father's Day. I didn't do anything. I didn't do a damn thing. This is the most Father's Day. I was taking care of a sick youngin. Probably the most Father's Day thing of all time. But in all seriousness, you know, maybe I'm just off base here. Like, it doesn't – it's just another kind of day for me. You know what I mean? Like, if – I feel like Father's Day is 365 days a year in a lot of regards. It does give a good day to reflect. I did, like, you know, got a car, a couple of cards, one for my wife, one for my kid. Here's a guilty pleasure of mine. I love peanut M&Ms. They gave me a bag of peanut M&Ms. Very good. But me and my wife are going to go celebrate, take a little vacation this week. I say a vacation, not really a vacation, kind of. Business vacation, I guess you will, but we'll be out Thursday and Friday, Saturday, so it'll be good to go and do some things we got to do with CBS. So it's going to be really fun. Looking forward to it, but we won't be here. But happy Father's Day to all. It is the, you know, becoming a dad is probably the biggest well, number one, I'll never forget, sidebar, I'll never forget the day I became a dad, right? Doctor comes in, says, hey, baby's going to be here. And we didn't find out. Like, we didn't know what Ben was going to be. We didn't know if it was boy or girl, you know, whatever. We didn't find out the gender. And so we go into the, you know, the room, the delivery room, and we did not find out. And the anesthesiologist, who's kind of talking to me, because I'm kind of like freaking out. I was like, man, we're about to have a baby. I don't know what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, the anesthesiologist looks at me, goes, here he comes. And I look up at him, I go, he, boy, you want to talk about the proudest day of my life. I mean, there's nothing better that I've ever done. Not on this show, not in life, accomplishments, nothing that we will ever do is a better accomplishment or a bigger feeling than having and creating life. So congrats to all of you fathers that are out there. Keep killing it, Kings. Y'all are doing fantastic. At least some of y'all are doing fantastic. All right, let's get to a couple more before we get rolling. Penn Jones, who's been a member for 8 months, says Tar Heels cry as much as Ole Miss. Boy, by the way, I saw this. Speaking of Carolina, the pitcher that threw yesterday, some random dude said that LSU's tampering with no, they're not. No, they're not. So, oh, of course, there's stuff out there. About Time on YouTube says, Blake Dylan Jones reminds me of DeMarco Murray. Ooh, which is scary for all of our opponents. I don't know if DeMarco Murray would be the one. I don't, if I had to give a comp, I don't know. Let me go back and rewatch DeMarco Murray now that I kind of think about it. Let me go back and watch DeMarco Murray. All right, let's get moving here. So I was on a podcast, it went viral. There was a lot of things that's been thrown out there, a lot of people disagreeing with me and or Bud Elliott, not with me. I want to address LSU going into the 2026 season. There are some narratives that their schedule is soft. I know me and Bud disagreed about that. I don't agree with him. Is LSU a playoff contender? Like, what is the likelihood of them being a playoff contender? We'll talk about that. Recruiting update, LSU gets a massive flip of Gary Burney Jr. We'll talk about that as well. LSU baseball portal at the end. So do us a favor. Hit the like and share. Subscribe down below. We're trying to get to 20,000 subs before the college football season. So do us a favor in doing that. Let me get to a quick break. When we come back, a lot of football to discuss. LSU baseball portal, not completely done yet. We'll talk about that soon. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you anew. Well, Tyler's the man, he's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dreams or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red Stick.
We're back.
God bless you. Hold on. Let's clear up this picture. Stay with us. Hold on. I don't really know what's going on with this internet. Our internet is so fugazi sometimes. It's so fugazi sometimes. All right. Let's clear up the picture. So a couple of weeks ago, and I know it got published. I'm pretty sure it was last week. I went on the Cover 3 podcast on the Summer School Edition with Bud Elliott, and we were talking about LSU. I think Bud does a fantastic job. Look, they have a fantastic podcast. You know, they are partners with us, you know, with CBS and 24/7. They do a good job, regardless of what you think. I went on with Bud Elliott, and there was a conversation there when we started talking about LSU's schedule. And I don't agree with Bud. Kind of talked about that in the podcast with him. And I know that this kind of got like 700,000 views and discussing it. So I wanted to kind of come back and talk about it now. Bud and I were having a conversation in reference to LSU's schedule. So everybody believes that LSU, because they spent, by the way, you know, there's a report out there LSU spent $50 million on this roster. That is not true. It's coming from a national publication. That is not true. With that being said, there is another narrative out there that LSU has a soft schedule or softer schedule. I've told you multiple times, I just don't believe that. I don't believe that they have a soft schedule at all. Nevertheless, I think that I can make the argument that LSU has not only a hard schedule, I really much believe that I can make the argument that they have the toughest schedule in the SEC. But it's a two-prong schedule. The beginning part and the ending part. Now, if you watch what Bud said on the podcast, he didn't really I'm just going to paraphrase. He said that he thought it was a cakewalk. I clearly don't agree with that at all. I think this is one of the tougher schedules in the country. Nevertheless, probably the toughest in the SEC. Maybe Georgia, Alabama, there's some tough ones in there. This schedule needs to be put into context about when people start asking about playoff contenders. So let me explain. When I look at LSU as a playoff contender, there are multiple factors that we need to look at. First off, you got to look at the staff, because offense and defensively, how good are they as play callers? Are you able to put your players in the right positions to make plays when the time is needed to make those plays? Because I think you have arguably one of the best staffs in the country, with Charlie Weiss Jr., with Blake Baker, with Lane Kiffin, with Sterling Lucas, with Chris Kiffin. You name Eric Wolford, George McDonald. You name the staff. Guys, you know that you have a very complimentary staff. So check mark number one. What I do think as well about this team is that what's getting missed is all of the context needed to be put into one. For an example, guys, you have 60 new players coming into LSU. The question's going to be, how quickly can they come together to build this thing to become a playoff team? Now, do I believe that you have the talent, offense, defense, special teams to do it? I actually do believe that you have that talent to, I don't want to even say be a borderline playoff team, but potentially could do it. But the thing that gets missed the most is the schedule. And I know that Bud and I talked about this where I don't agree with him. And I look at this schedule and I think there's a two-prong approach that you can look at this. Number one, guys, the beginning part of LSU's schedule is extremely tough. I look at starting off with Clemson, even though I don't believe Clemson's going to be a very good team. I look at them and say, do you really know? I don't think Dabo, as much as everybody says that Dabo is slipping and that, you know, he's not doing a good job, Dabo didn't forget how to coach. He didn't forget the X's and O's part. Now, I don't like what they did at offensive coordinator. I don't really like what they're doing on the defensive side of the football. I believe that you're going to beat Clemson. But it's not a walk in the park and going up against a team that will have multiple draft picks, that has a really good wide receiver core, that has some really good running backs that are young, that has some pieces along their defensive line, especially at edge with Will Helt. I still believe that you're going to win. It's not a cakewalk. Because in the first month of your season, you start off with Clemson, Louisiana Tech, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. That's the first four games of the season that you have. Guys, you're potentially going up against two playoff teams at best when you talk about Ole Miss and Texas A&M. And you can make the argument, based off of what Clemson and what their schedule is in the ACC, guys, God forbid the ACC continues to stink outside of the top level with Miami. Guys, I don't know if Clemson's not better than some of those teams. Now, I personally believe that they're going to take another step back, but the ACC is still pretty soft. What if they win the ACC? Guys, they just won the ACC 2 years ago. But I look at the first month of this at Ole Miss and Texas A&M. Ole Miss is the biggest game of the season versus LSU. You know that and I know that. You can say it is Ole Miss, or you could say it's Ohio State versus Michigan or the Iron Bowl, or you name the game. Yeah, everybody is talking about one game going into the season. It's LSU and Ole Miss. And when I look at that and I look at the month that is, guys, look how much attention's being put on you in the very beginning part of the season. Oh, by the way, you got 60 new players. You're going up in the first month. Half of the teams that you will face are playoff contending teams in Texas A&M and Ole Miss. How are you going to look in there and say that with Trinidad Chambliss, Marcel Reed, with Kawan Lacy and everything defensively that A&M is returning, that you think that that is not a tough schedule? Now, in the first part of this season, you're going to have to come out of there being 3-1. If you have any hope, any chance whatsoever to make a playoff run, you must be 3-1. Because I do think, to what Bud was saying about the quote-unquote cakewalk, I do think that you have a very manageable schedule midway through the season. You come out of the first month after playing at Ole Miss and Texas A&M, two potential playoff teams, and you go into the midseason, or I say mid, yeah, it is the midseason technically. You have McNeese at Kentucky, which, by the way, guys, Will Stein's a really good play caller. Joe Sloan is not, but Will Stein will be calling plays. They went out and did some really good things in the transfer portal. It's not like you're going up against a Mark Stoops-led Kentucky team. Always difficult going to Kentucky and playing. You got Mississippi State and at Auburn, which I don't think at Auburn will be easy. Those games on the road in the SEC are tricky. They always have been. They always will be. You know what happens when LSU goes on the road to Auburn and that game kicks off at 11 a.m., the one against Auburn. It's not an easy walk through the park, even though it is the middle tier and it's a very manageable situation. I think you're better than McNeese, clearly. I think you're better than Kentucky. You're better than Mississippi State and better than Auburn. But Kamario Taylor could go off. He went off against Ole Miss last year in his first ever start. Kentucky brings in guys like Lance Hurd. They bring in a really good quarterback. They got a decent running back. They have a decent offensive line. I really don't know what they have at receiver. Nick Anderson might be one of their leading wide receivers, and I don't think that he's ready to come back. I mean, it would have to be a massive leap. He can't stay out of the injury tent. But that part of the season, the core part of your season, in the middle part of it, is very manageable. I think that you can easily go undefeated there. You're just simply better. Are you going to slip up in any of those games? But we talked about the first part of the season. We've talked about the later part of the season. Guys, to start and end the season, it's an absolute gauntlet. Because to end the season as well, you have Bama at home, Texas at home. You got to go to Tennessee. They are going to throw stuff at Kiffin, and I don't judge that lightly. They very much are probably going to throw stuff at Lane Kiffin. And then you end at Arkansas, which, guys, it's their Super Bowl to go up against you, especially that game being on Thanksgiving week. When I look at this, I look at Bama, who, yes, you don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Is it Keelan Russell? Because if it is, that was the number one quarterback coming out in this class. Does he take and show that he is a really good quarterback coming in? You have a lot of really good players and wide receivers that are surrounding you. You did a really good job, did Alabama, at getting Ryan Williams and recruiting from the high school ranks, and you got some decent wide receivers. I don't think their offensive line's very good. You are having to replace a lot in your front seven. You have some really good pieces in your secondary, but because Bama has been relatively good, they're coming off of a playoff run themselves. They're not a walk in the park as everybody's trying to make them to be. And in the second part, too, you have the University of Texas. Because I easily can make the argument right now, dude versus dude, Texas might have the most talent in the country, bar none. Look at what they have at receiver. Look at what they have at running back. Look at what they have along their offensive line. Look at who they have at quarterback. Their front seven has a very strong chance of all seven of them being drafted in the first 3 to 4 rounds. Now, I think they could be a little bit gettable in their secondary. That's neither here nor there. But guys, they're a very good team. More than a third of your schedule, because I still think that there's a team in there that you play, whether it be Kentucky, whether it be Tennessee, that is going to be tricky and be a little bit better than people are anticipating. But guys, just on the onset of this, you have 4 potential playoff teams that you're going up against. You still have to go up against Trinidad Chambliss. You still have to go up against Arch Manning in Texas. Texas A&M, under Mike Elko, has done a fantastic job. They just went to a playoff, and I do think that they could be better. So I know that I was on with Bud Elliott, and I know that there was a condemnation coming out of that LSU has a soft schedule. No, they don't. The only big team in the SEC right now that could make a playoff push that I think that you are missing would be Georgia. That's it. Now, you are missing the former and reigning defending SEC champ. Because Texas has been in there. Alabama has been in there. They have recruited at a really good level. Ole Miss just got to a Final Four, and that quarterback that led them there is still there. They have the leading rusher in the SEC that returns in Kawan Lacy. You think that that's a cakewalk? I think that LSU's schedule is being misjudged. I think people believe and have some connotation about that this is a walkthrough. This isn't a walkthrough. So I look at this and say, no, I don't agree that this is a walkthrough. However, I do see and do believe that there is a chance that potentially that this schedule is not as good that even as I believe, because I think that there could be something else at play. Let me explain. Does Ole Miss take a step back with Pete Golding going into his first year as a head coach, with the entire offensive staff not being there, with Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss not being there, offensively, even with Trinidad Chambliss and Kawan Lacy, do they take a step back? I can see it. Does Pete Golding, as an example, manage games correctly? Now, I will throw this your way too, why I think Ole Miss could take a step back, even though I think Trinidad's a really good quarterback, and even though I believe that Kawan Lacy is a really good back, if not the best back in the country. It took Charlie Weiss in this offense bailing Pete Golding and them defensively out so many different times in the playoff to beating Georgia and almost beating Miami and going on the runs that they needed to go on for them to do the things that they did a season ago. Guys, Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss isn't there, and people are just assuming that they're going to pick off where they left off. I can make the same argument for Texas A&M. I can make the argument that Colin Klein is no longer there. He is now the head coach at Kansas State, and you're turning to, if you're Mike Elko, a team and a system of a guy that's never called plays in college football. LSU fans should know exactly how that could go down. Just ask Brian Kelly and Joe Sloan. I look at Alabama and I say to myself, yeah, I don't think Kalen DeBoer is a bad coach by any means. I don't think that they have bad players and that you can just walk through them by any means. Who's starting at quarterback? In the first year of Keelan Russell, is he going to be able to take Alabama in so many tough games and propel them into winning at one of the highest levels and them going into a playoff. I don't know that. Truth be told, I really do believe that Texas is the only team on your schedule that I feel pretty confident is not going to just take a step back or has the thought process of me seeing that they take a step back. Guys, I got to be completely blunt with you. I actually think Texas takes a step forward. And I can make more arguments for that than anything. I don't think that this is a soft schedule. So there is a narrative that is out there about, number one, LSU making a playoff and LSU having a soft schedule. Yeah, maybe the middle court, but I don't think Kentucky is a walkthrough. I don't think Auburn is a walkthrough. I don't believe, as an example, that Mississippi State, although I don't think they're going to be very good, Kamario Taylor is, to me, one of the more intriguing quarterbacks in the country. Go look what he did to Ole Miss. Guys, there was nobody in the country last year that Ole Miss went up against that did what Kamario Taylor did. And before you go stat sheet stuffing, and before you go out there and just look at the stats, you better go actually watch the game and look at how many drops that he had. Go look and see how many situations throughout that game that he was making extremely rare level plays that his team was not benefiting because they were not disciplined enough to be able to help him along the way to make that game closer. I look at Ole Miss as an example. That game is going to be as toxic as all get out. I look at Texas A&M and think that there is a chance that they could take a step back because without Colin Klein there and with a first-time play caller offensively, how do you know what you're getting? How do you know what they're going to call on third down? Are they going to be able to be in sync when they need to be in sync the most? I look at Ole Miss and say, how do you replace the leading tackler in the SEC in TJ Dottery? And how do you replace a guy that had damn near 10 sacks last season for you in Prince Will, Omamyelen? Both of those guys, ironically, going to LSU. But how do you replace that? How do you replace two really good receivers out wide, Caden Lee not being there? You think that you're taking a step forward just because you have Trinidad? I don't know if I can go there. I don't know what to expect from Bama. So, what am I saying here? Because I do see it, I could see it in both ways. I could see it in both lenses. I could see it in both lights. I think it sits somewhere in the middle. Like, I think of one of the two teams, Ole Miss versus, or Ole Miss and Texas A&M, one of those teams is going to take a step back. I don't know who it is. I have no clue. But I think talent v. talent, you have more talent than all four of the teams in the beginning part of your schedule. I look at the middle part of your schedule as well, by the way, and say, what team is going to give you a run for your money that you're not expecting on the schedule? Because, guys, here's the truth. You can come in here like we normally do before we get into the preseason, and I'm going to have so many of these comments. Oh, Blake, Kentucky sucks. Name their starting quarterback without having to go to Google. Name it. It's Kenny Minchie, by the way. Oh, Auburn's going to suck. Are you 1,000% sure about that? Their defense under DJ Durkin last year was elite. Not good, not great. Guys, they were elite. They're a really good team. Defensively, they would have, you know, if they had any pulse, like you had more of an offensive pulse than they did last year, guys, their defense was insanely gifted. Is it them? I'm reminded, and we talked about this with Bud Elliott on the podcast, like, Ole Miss struggled with Washington State last year and could have gotten clipped. I look at teams last year like Indiana, okay, the national champion. Guys, Indiana had to put a drive together against a below 500 Penn State team to win a game on the road that they should have never been in a dogfight for, right? If you have a 5-7 team, you shouldn't be getting in a dogfight with Penn State, and nevertheless, the national champion got in a dogfight with them. You can't look at the SEC, you can't look at the Big Ten and say, those conferences are really tough. They're very, very, very tough. And you not getting to a dogfight versus a team that you have really no business getting in a dogfight with. That's going to happen to you. Oh, and by the way, I forgot about the biggest thing. How do you as a staff and a team react to having 9 conference games? How do you react to that? Because, guys, even though last year you had 3 non-traditional Power 4 opponents, like you played Western Kentucky at the end of the year, that game's not there anymore. Instead of Western Kentucky that you're playing this year at the end of your schedule, you're playing and going on the road to Tennessee. That's not easy. Last year, 13 of the 16 SEC teams were in the top 15 at the end of the regular season in strength of schedule. LSU was one of them. Ole Miss was borderline there. They weren't one of them. They were like at 17, by the way. It's not going to be an easy slate. When I look at LSU's playoff picture, there's a lot that goes into this, and there really is too many unknowns. Is Sam Leavitt going to be the quarterback that we anticipate him to be? Are you going to be able to run the ball, which looks like that you have been able to find a running game? Is this offensive line going to hold up? Are you at receiver? What I think that you can be at receiver. This schedule's not easy. But I don't think it's anywhere close to being a cakewalk. Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Alabama, Texas, just by themselves, makes it one of the toughest schedules in the country, bar none. If you're going to make a playoff, you're going to have to dominate the middle and only lose one in the beginning and end. I don't think you're going undefeated. I don't think you're a one-loss team. You're going to get into some dogfights. It really just depends on the teams that, quote unquote, you're not supposed to lose to that you don't. That's how this season is going to have to play out. I look at your schedule, however, before we move forward, I look at your schedule and do say that I look at every single team that you would play against. I think you're at the same level of talent or better than every one of them but one. I think Texas is the only team that is on your schedule that you just don't have more talent than. And I believe that. So if that is the case, should you be a playoff level team? You could. But the factors that remain, you're bringing in 60 new guys. Is your interior defensive line going to be filled with true freshmen? Like LSU is, they do have issues. There are issues that are still there that we don't know about. And that we're not going to know about going into the season. But you are better. So, I know that there was a viral clip. I know that things kind of got taken a little bit out of context. I don't agree with Bud, even though I was on that podcast. It was summer school. I highly suggest all of y'all go check that out. And I know the context of what I said, I didn't agree and pretty much said, hey, then explain Ole Miss. Because to end this, my question to Bud, and not saying, hey, I believe you're wrong, my question to him was, hey, number one, what are your thoughts about Ole Miss and Texas A&M? And then do you think Alabama and Texas are going to stink? It doesn't matter what you think, as The Rock would say. It doesn't matter what our opinions of them are. You can make cases for both stances. He sits on the stance of that he believes that those teams take step backs. Ole Miss isn't a cakewalk. LSU going into Ole Miss, even if Ole Miss is a 7-5 team, with everything that is going on and how this is going to be anticipated and all of the buildup, that's not going to be easy, regardless of what Ole Miss's schedule or record is going to be. Tennessee is not going to be easy for a Lane Kiffin team because of how much animosity is going to be built up going into that game. Oh, and by the way, you're coming off of games versus Alabama and Texas. How beat up are you? And I think going on the road at Kentucky and at Auburn isn't a cakewalk. Now, the biggest opponents that you do have, three of the four are at home, and you got to capitalize off of that. The question that people keep saying, or the narrative that keeps being out there, even though a rival company of 24/7 is saying they spent $50 million. Number one, that's not accurate. And number two, that's not remotely close to being true when you can just throw numbers out there. That's not true. I ask you, though, do you think that they should be a playoff team? Because I think they're borderline of being there myself, but I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk to do it. All right. I see some comments flying in here. And some super chats. Get Gooder says, happy Father's Day, man. Been a member for 7 months. Thank you. You as well. I don't know if Get Gooder's a father. I'm assuming that he is. K-Dog says, LSU was a spinal cyst away from beating Ole Miss. I see what you did there. Spectrum Wellcare says, I like Weiss against Muschamp. That's the thing against Texas. What is Will Muschamp? But, man, they just got so many dudes, though, man. They got so many dudes. I mean, Texas is going to be a good football team, in my opinion. Can they run the football will be a real question. Hollywood Smothers at running back. They're going to be a good team. They're going to be a really good team. All right. Let me get to a quick break. We come back. We talk a little bit about recruiting. LSU had a surprise visitor, a very massive surprise visitor. They get a commitment. We'll talk about that. We'll wrap it up with LSU baseball portal as well. Stay with us. Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month and also doing those $99 tune-up promotions. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today, give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to their website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com, where your comfort is their top priority. Guys, I want to talk to you about our good friends over the Drake Williams Law Firm and Drake Title Company. Are you facing tough times due to an injury from a car accident, navigating the complexities of divorce, or purchasing a new home? At the Drake Williams Law Firm and Drake Title Company, they understand the challenges you're going through, and they are here to help. The lawyer team of Ernie Drake III, Ryan J. Williams, and Summer Vignair, along with Morgan Daniels, have the experience and proven track record to give you that peace of mind. Give them a call today at 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600 to schedule a free consultation at their brand new office located in historic downtown Ponchatoula. They're also doing a special, the AYS special. If you're refinancing or closing on a home in Southeast Louisiana, request the Drake Title Company to handle your closing. If you mention Blake Ruffino and AYS, you're going to receive a $400 discount on title fees. Again, give them a call at 985-386-7600. Let them know that Blake Ruffino sent you on by. When your business, your farm, or your equipment needs fuel, you need someone that you can trust. At Crump Fuel, they deliver quality gasoline, diesel, and lubricants with honest service and local pride across South Louisiana and South Mississippi. From construction sites, marinas, convenience stores, and trucking companies, all the way down to generators and everyday operations, Crump Fuel keeps you rolling. Crump Fuel is family-owned and family-operated. With high-quality and dependable delivery, They're always going to bring that competitive pricing. Call Crump Fuel today at 985-229-4976 or visit them over at crumpfuel.com. That's 985-229-4976 or visit them at crumpfuel.com today. Crump Fuel, where they're fueling the Gulf South in the right way.
Guys, you might know my good friend Carol Falls and all the great service that he provides over at State Farm. He is your good neighbor after all. But did you know State Farm has surprisingly great rates as well? Along with the great neighbor service, State Farm agent Carol Falls has surprisingly great rates for everyone inside the state of Louisiana. So call him today at 985-395-4300, 985-395-4300 for all of those surprisingly great rates on auto, home, and life insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, and individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to the State Farm underwriting requirements.
We're back! Did y'all watch House of Dragon last night? House of the Dragon last night? Season 3, episode 1? Sheep Stealer pisses me off. I mean, why in the world, number one, why in the world would you fly a dragon that you can't control into a battle? Teenagers making dumb mistakes, I guess. But my man going, no, no, right? You know, that dragon guy, spoil, I'm not going to spoil anything, but my man's got an underbite. I mean, that's the goofiest looking dragon I've ever seen. But I am glad that it came out on Father's Day. I got paused, but I got sucked into the Game of Thrones, House of Dragons stuff. I'm all in it. I'm all into it. I can't not be. I wish I wasn't. I wish I read books. You know what I mean? But House of the Dragon. I mean, it's a fantastic way to start the season. I just, you know, I'm kind of holding out faith that one day that Jon Snow returns and takes the Iron Throne. Like that's, and like has a dragon, like finds dragon egg. And that's what I want. I want justice. And I feel like justice has not been served. The way that Game of Thrones ended was dumb. That damn sheep stealer. You know, if I had a dragon, you know what it'd be called? Women stealer. Ain't none of y'all women safe. You better be glad your boy's married. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. If I had a dragon, it'd be called women stealer. No sheep stealer, no women stealer. Anyway. I wasn't able to watch it on time yesterday, but I did get to watch it last night. Fantastic. Fantastic. My dragon would be called Woman Stealer. None of y'all's women are safe. Guys, don't act like it's an opinion. Just understand it's a fact. Okay, you're going to have to help her. All right, let's get moving here. So LSU did get a commitment, technically a flip, from Gary Burney Jr. yesterday, the three-star wide receiver at 6'3", 185 pounds. From Parkway, flips his commitment from Houston to LSU. Guys, I'm going to keep saying this. They are going to go after young men that they believe that regardless of star rating, regardless of what you think about them, if they like them, they're going to get them, and they're going to go after them. Now, this recruitment has been very interesting. So, Burney Jr. commits to Houston, and LSU then offers him. They saw something in him. They like him. They wanted to go get the Northern wide receiver, who, by the way, last year had 76 catches for 1,367 yards, and 15 touchdowns, who I think has all of the ability in the world. This Gary Burney Jr. could flip or commitment is an interesting one to me. It is interesting to me based off a couple of things. Number one, you go out and get two wide receivers that are that have a lot of length on the boundary. So what have we learned about Lane Kiffin over the last couple of seasons? He wants big-bodied wide receivers on the boundary. That is what he has done. Look at Jackson Harris. Look at Trey Harris. Look at Stribling. Look at go back even to USC. Look at Alabama. It is what he wants on the boundary at wide receiver. He's done it religiously, whether you go back to USC, whether you go to Alabama, whether you go to Tennessee, it doesn't really matter. He wants big body wide receivers. However, I think Bernie Jr., if he stays at LSU, I don't want to call him a project because 76 catches, 1,400 yards, and 15 touchdowns. He did a fantastic job last season. And I think has a lot of ability to do more. Guys, you go and watch the film for Gary Bernard Jr. He runs three routes. Hitches, hitch and goes, and fades. And the funny thing about this is there are a couple of Louisiana DBs, some that are four-star DBs, that he completely burns. That he completely roasts on the open field. So I look at him and say, I believe that Gary Bernie Jr., I don't want to call him a developmental player. He's got a lot of ability. And LSU identified him, thought he was a really good player, and went after him and landed the flip and or commitment. You don't fake 76 catches, 1,400 yards, and 15 touchdowns. If he has another season like that, I do think the Parkway wide receiver is going to climb up those boards, is going to get his fourth star, and is a really good wide receiver. You cannot, in this offense, as much as they rotate at that position, you can't have too many of them. Look at what they did in the portal. I think that there's a lot. When you watch the Gary Bernie Jr. film, there is a lot of growth. What I liked about him, number one, he's a long strider. He separates himself. His really good hand placement and was really physical in the run game. I do think that there are things that he needs to work on. His hands are too early when he goes up and high points the football. Timing needs to be a little bit better. But guys, this reminds me of like Terrace Marshall. It reminds me of I think BTJ was a lot faster than him. Even coming out of high school. But look at the rise of BTJ when he was at LSU. Develop, and then the third year he just completely exploded onto the scene. He's got all of the ability. I love the addition. I think with some molding and being coached up that Gary Bernard Jr. can be a really good player. There are things, again, that he needs to develop, but this process was an easy one for LSU. Kid wants to be here. Tough nose, down to earth, wants to put in the work and wants to be here. And you can't fake the speed, and you also can't fake him being 6'3", 6'4"-ish. You can't fake that. So LSU does get another addition to their team coming off of a visit from Gary Bernie Jr. Again, I think that there are some pieces that he needs to work on. And I think that even in going into his senior year that he will work on. Kid's got some speed on him. He's got some speed. I like this addition. I like the size that you have at the boundary in this class. You can't fake 6'4", dude. You can't fake the speed. The Cam addition, the Bernie addition, you can't fake that. And it's what Lane likes, and it's what he's gone and gotten. I do think Bernie's going to end up being in this class a four-star because I think he's going to be poised for another senior season. Doesn't have a lot of football experience, and that's what makes him very raw in this process. So he ran three routes, hitch and go, and fade, and it's all he needed. It's all he needed. By the way, it's also what the boundary wide receivers mostly run for guess who? Go look at all of Stribling's accomplishments last year. Go look at Trey Harris's accomplishments the year before. Go look what the routes they ran. Double move, hitch, maybe a slant here or there, or they're running a go route. So I like the addition there. LSU also had a massive visitor this weekend in Texas Tech commit and Anthony Sweeney, the five-star. So Anthony Sweeney, the five-star edge, number three edge in the country. Sterling Lucas is at it again, by the way. He gave a couple of comments to Go247. You can go read that article over there. I always wait till we talk about recruiting to talk about this. So, massive write-up about where LSU sits with Anthony Sweeney. Zach and Andre both spoke to Anthony about going to LSU, KJ Green being there and helping the recruitment. So, you need to do this. AYS60 at checkout. You can get 60% off of your annual VIP membership on Go247 or really any board when you do it. I'll put it up here just so you see it. Go over there now, AYS60 at checkout, annual VIP membership, 60% off of your annual VIP membership. I think you need to go over there, and I think you need to read the conversation that Zach and Andre had with Sweeney. Look, Sterling Lucas is everything that he's been advertised to be. God forbid you flip another one. God forbid. You get three of the top five-ish edge guys. I don't even know how that's possible. I have no idea how he's going to be able to pull that off. I don't know if he will, but I suggest y'all go read that. So, here's as the dead period starts. So, let's talk about this before we move on here. Talk a little bit about baseball, too. The dead period was enacted today. So, June 22nd, the dead period starts. What does that mean? No in-person, official, or unofficial visits. That part ends on July the 31st. I think LSU feels very comfortable with having 14 commits. I also think that they feel very comfortable about probably and more than likely, I would say around 5 to 6 guys of adding on to this class. Guys, the relentless pursuit that they're putting on for Easton Royal is not going to stop. The relentless pursuit that they have now started, but they have been putting on Albert Simeon is not going to stop. And they need to go and get the both of them. You got to make a statement that you can't come in this state and grab two of the top four best players in your state. I think LSU will continue to do that. We've talked about a lot of guys in this summer process that they've continued to go after. I mean, name some of them like Kelsey Adams. Are you able to flip that Georgia commitment? So many others. I think LSU at the end of this wants to get to that 20, 21, maybe at max 22 coming out of high school and then go back out and attack the portal. That's where they sit. Can they flip to Jalen Brewster? I don't know. You know, Jalen Brewster went to Texas Tech this weekend. I think they feel, you know, Texas Tech feels confident from a financial standpoint about where they sit there. It is what it is. I will say this too. I don't like Cody Campbell at all. I think he's been very fugazi in all of this. That's neither here nor there. So I do think LSU sits in a really good spot for 5, maybe 6 guys. They want to get to that 20 mark, and they want to continue to flip some of these top-end dudes. All right. Let me get to this. I see some super chats in there, and then I got to roll to Ruffino and Joe. Jesse O'Neill, who's been a member for 8 months, says, downplaying our schedule in case we are good. Maybe that's what he's doing. I just don't think that you can do that. I don't agree with Bud on that at all. Red Hot with a $5 super chat says the whole Cover 3 podcast all think the same. They don't like Lane and LSU. I don't know about that, but they do think that it's going to be easy, and that's just not true. Like, that's not remotely close to being true at all. At all. Not remotely close to being true. Ricky Pope with a $5 super chat says, Happy Father's Day, Blake, to you as well, Ricky, if you are indeed a father. He said, when are you going to do another members only podcast again, or have you and I missed it? No, we need to get back on there. It's been really tough with doing everything with CBS. So we're doing the national show on Fridays, stuff like that. We're going to be doing them. We're leaving Wednesday. We'll have one this week. You have my word, we'll have one this week. Gavin's Vision says, what was Easton Royal's okay tweet about? No idea. I have no idea. Kids in high school are going to be kids in high school. I don't know. I wish I did know. I think LSU is trending there. There was a lot of smoke about him not going to Texas last week, and mom wanted him to see it through. I think LSU is going to go down at minimum. They're going to do – look, even if they don't wind up getting him, LSU is going to keep battling to the very, very end. And that, I love them for it. All right, got to roll. See y'all tomorrow. Have a good one. Peace.